Hello everyone, welcome to Scott and Paul's Rambling Podcast.
Hello.
Scott McLeod here, joined as always my good friend and co-host Paul Brown.
Once again, hello.
And something I don't usually like us doing, but, you know, doing same, two similar subject back to back, you know, like we do quite a few wrestling shows back to back, but we do a different spin on it, but we're doing two of our Frasier reviews in close proximity to each other, back to back episodes.
Yes. And may I, as I've just recalled, I had read the news earlier in the day, but may I give my condolences to a recently passed Virgil?
Yes. Yeah. 61, I think, years
61,
old.
61, he was dealing with a number of health issues in the last few years.
Yeah.
Sad to see him go. I always enjoyed Virgil back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember watching his match with Yokozuna.
Yokozuna or something like that.
Lord Alfred Hayes. That Yokozuna.
I love that. My favorite thing about that is Alfred Hayes is constantly, in all my years, I have never seen you take a shellacking the way I seen you tonight.
I loved Alfred Hayes.
Yes, huh? No, he's like the wrestling equivalent of Gil. He's much like Gil Chesterton, isn't he?
Yes, he's a little gay like Gil. But apparently, he was a monster heel back in the day. Well, Alfred Hayes.
You see, but yeah, I mean, it's like what Martin says in one of these episodes. He's English. They all sound gay.
God, Stephen Regal didn't sound gay. He just sounded a bit puffy.
And the difference would be.
Now, come on, Scott. We're sounding a little offensive here.
I do not mean to be offensive. I say it in jest. I say it to you. Say it to you, who's also a bit poofy.
Yes, well, yes, I am. With having a male fiancé and all, you know.
Yeah, there are small signs. Yeah, small giveaways. Otherwise, you would never tell.
Is it the fact that I'm a little poofy?
That there's the red nail polish that you currently have on your various jewelries and such.
I am just. Yeah, I'm a little poofy.
Yes.
That was the word, extravagant. Yes. There you go.
He's extravagant. I did jokingly call Paul, he's an old woman at heart. When he was talking about butterscotch sauce and his ice cream, and I talk about sitting here, he's carrying, he sees him coughing up like a granny who's still in 40 years, and she's like in her 60s, like, I'm eating. Go to the shops, give me an Airfax.
No, that's a woman that's lived. That's a woman that's got a story.
Well, I mean, the woman I just made up.
Aye.
My God, I didn't even smoke. How dare you insinuate such? If this is your first episode, I can only apologise from what you've heard so far.
It's mostly Scott's fault.
If you've not tuned out already.
Aye, it's mostly Scott's fault, though.
I should also apologise.
I try and keep as professional, but he always goes on these mad rambles. It's just it's hard to keep up with him.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response. But I also apologise to very listeners that 2024 has been a bit sporadic with the first few episodes. Reason-wise, I can say that I only bear responsibility myself because I have other podcast commitments and work and all shit. But, you know, it started off in January, carried into February. You know, January is always the worst month in the year. And that's weirdly the month where everyone says they're going to give up the things they like.
January is a bitch.
It is a real bitch.
You know, it's never a bitch for me because I never give up anything I like.
Yeah, I noticed that. But I'm just saying a lot of people wonder about why they don't keep their New Year's resolution. It's because you're giving up something you like and one of the worst months of the year. Wait till February at least.
Do you know I have never failed on my New Year's resolution?
Is that because you don't make any?
Yeah.
I see that coming a mile.
I don't waste my time.
And plus, people will moan if they don't get their New Year's resolution in the first month. Like, it's a New Year resolution. You got all year to do it. When you think about it. You could finally achieve that in November and you'd still be keeping your promise. When you think about
it. Well, actually, as long as you achieve it in the 10 minutes before the bells, you're fine. So see if I stay sober for 10 minutes before the bells. Then I've stayed sober in 2023 or 2024 or whatever year we end up in.
So you last time you said you'd stay sober for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway. But on the subject of Frasier, before we get into these episodes, we're going to review episodes 14 through 16 of season 7. We're right there at the halfway point of their show. As Bon Jovi say, we are halfway there. Whoa.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. We're living on a prayer and such.
Are we near the point where I start to disagree with Daphne?
Well, the very first episode after the one we're reviewing, so the first episode of the next batch that we do is the Wine Club episode, the Corkmaster episode, which I think is definitely a turning point in both the relationship with Mel and the Daphne thing. Not so much Daphne, it's more on what Fraser and Martin and those people think of Mel rather than Daphne herself.
I believe, quite honestly, and I will be professional.
You said that now?
No, I will say that. I will be professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not call Fraser, Niles, Martin and Daphne the shits they are in this upcoming arc of the show. I will be professional. But let's just say I do not agree with the coming proceedings.
I can provide you some leeway because you managed to sit through me in that brief period of season 3 where I was very adamant about my dislike of Kate Costas.
Yes, I was, and I still made fun of you for it, so...
And I will find my ways to make fun of you, and that's because it's only fair. Really.
Even though I know that you partly agree with me, partly. Maybe not as vehemently as I am, but you partly agree with me.
Who knows? Our opinions on shows can change with how many rewatches, so maybe in this next rewatch I will have a similar opinion to you.
Hashtag justice for Mel.
You can't even call for it, I can't even fucking say it.
I can, I've had like... a lot of drinks.
Yes, you have. I mean, I've only seen him drink one or two since I've gotten here, but I can always tell.
Yes, since you've got here.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't deny it. Even though I didn't see it, I know it's happened.
You know me well.
Anyway, on the other subject of Fraser, we haven't done full episodes on it, but we have dedicated, I think the last episode we dedicated a decent amount of time to talking about our thoughts now that you'd finally finished the most recent season of Revival Season.
Which, again,
I'm very happy in that not only given the big gap between the original and everything, and given it's something that people hold dear, that the outpouring has been mostly positive, especially from us and people.
Do you know what it's like?
Yeah.
It's like the reverse of when Godfather 3 came out. Because, you know, like, everyone loved The Godfather, everyone loved Godfather 2. Not so many people loved Godfather 3 because it was kind of shit. But then everyone loved Cheers. Yeah. Everyone loved Frasier. And the majority of people loved new Frasier.
I know, because the odds of this being as good as it is were very slim. Like, the odds were not in their favour when they announced this project.
Can I just say? Alan.
Yes, everyone loves
Alan.
And I have suggested to Paul that to connect with Alan and the new series, we should do an Only Fools and Horses eclectic escapade. Where what we do of For Only Fools and Horses.
That would be a much better program when everybody loves Raymond. Everybody loves Alan.
I was going to say, I never suggested doing it where everybody loves Raymond.
You're lucky. Everybody loves Raymond sucks.
I never said anything about it. You're the one who brought it up. Anyway, the point is I'm making is that we got very good news recently that season 2 of this new show has been announced.
How you like that?
And I'm wondering, as is the case with many shows where they have a smaller first season and then popularity allows them to have more episodes, will they stick to the 10 episode thing that they've been on, or will they expand it to more episodes?
They will expand it to original level episodes.
They could. You know, it's up to them.
They should.
I mean, I would happily let them keep it to 10 episodes if it's all going to be all good episodes, because I hate to have the idea of them stretching it for the sake of it and you have a couple of episodes there that are a bit shit and a bit filler.
The only thing I hope from the new season.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the majority of the cast just stay as they are because they're just fine as they are. And his son becomes more likable.
I don't mind him.
Because Frederick's a prick.
Okay.
He is. He's a whiny-faced little asshole. Every goddamn time through the first few episodes, Fraser really tried. It was like he was looking for reasons to bitch at Fraser. Little bitch, I never slapped that asshole.
Anyway.
I liked his friend though.
Yes, you know, I know you did.
I like her.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool.
I do like the way they set her up in the first episode, like, when she's like, you're trying to just go stand around and be someone on that, because they did that a lot in Fraser, especially in one of the episodes we're going to talk about here, and you'll think he's going to have to give you the set. I was like, oh no, I'm on board, I love it. Because she likes to think of herself as an actress.
Oh yes, yes. She's a fantabulous actress.
I mean, my hope is that I like David more in this new one because I didn't really like him in season 1.
I like David. He was silly.
I mean, the whole thing about him in the bee as well, like, it just seems to be that go-to thing. Like, every overly smart character in a TV show has a moment, oh, I got a bee. It's the end of my world. And everyone has to tell them that No, this is not the end of the world.
But you see, it works because he's Miles' son. He's been brought up to freak out about this kind of shit. You know?
Yeah. Either way, we'll always have Alan.
Everyone loves Alan. That's me.
You mean that's more like the Butters thing that everyone knows it's Butters?
Everyone knows it's Alan.
Frasier!
Alan's very own episode.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
Everything clean. Alan. Drunk.
Yeah, but before we get into these episodes of Frasier, Paul. Well, in a minute. You know, I'll pull it over when we have the episode to go through. We're talking first.
Oh, okay. Fine. Drink your tequila.
Before we get into this batch of episodes, something that we were talking about off air, and something we're going to go into much more depth for in a few weeks' time, because we've got some plans for it. But to go back to wrestling, I know there'll be some people who like the wrestling and the Frasier, some people might like one or the other, but don't tune out, your Frasier people who may not be interested in wrestling.
Even though we know you are a little
just,
bit.
Just bear us a few months to talk about this, but we've both now finally been able to see The Iron Claw,
Awesome.
The movie by the Van Outs is so good.
It really is. So sad in parts. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, parts of it really do get to you.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, what a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I mean, granted it takes a little leniency with its factualizing and its stories and shit, but for the most part, it's on point and it's so well acted.
Yeah.
So well portrayed. Mm-hmm. Like, my God, great movie.
Like, I'll maybe talk about this when we do a more in-depth review, because like I want to talk about some other wrestling-related things that came recently, because it feels like, you know, recently with some other wrestling-related media, like wrestling, in terms of how it's portrayed on TV,
has
been taken a little more seriously. Like, you had the Page film, which I also enjoyed, but I think that film is slightly more egregious in its altering of the story, in a way.
Yeah.
Where, I think this one is, there are some bits that are cut out, because I think there's like a few bits less tragedy in the film.
Isn't the Page movie a WWE production?
Well, it's more so a Rock production.
A Rock production.
Like Steve Merchant being the director and everything of it, and he gets a small cameo in it as well.
Mm.
Where he and his missus sitting around the night's table, his wife accidentally says, "Isn't it all fake?" And they all just look at her just like, "What'd you say?"
Mm. Thing was all right. You think about it, like, what? With Page film beforehand and the Von Erich movie just recently we've enjoyed. Wrestling really is on one of those upward trajectories again at the moment.
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, the only downside is AEW, but the less said about that shit show, the better. It really isn't shit at the moment, but wrestling is on a fucking high at the moment, you know? Like, you've got your dub fans, you've got your AEW fans, you've got your TNA fans, you've got your ROH fans, you've got your fucking NJP fans. Fucking wrestling is at its high point again.
I think so.
It hasn't been at this point since it was sort of maybe the start of the Ruthless era.
And you think of it with the Netflix thing for Raw, I think you have a chance to go even bigger, because, like, you think about how many homes are in it, or like Fox or USA's, and compared to how many homes have access to Netflix and things like
how
that.
How are you going to feel when it goes to Netflix and your network subscription becomes pretty much null and void?
Well, then I won't have that network. I mean, as long as they have content on the network before they've moved it all to Netflix, because they've not really been clear about what is in current, because also newer and current stuff is going there.
Well, keep our WCW on the network.
Well, for our sake, for the Retro SmackDown review over in Rogue Opinions, you better hope they keep a lot of the classic stuff, otherwise how are you going to have access to that stuff?
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, they're going to want to have revenue from the network, so I assume a lot of their stuff, like WCW...
I'd say maybe keep a lot of the older stuff there until you can have the capacity to move it over, but start off by focusing on moving the new stuff, like the current stuff on it, but like, because I know it'll be annoying people to like have two different subscriptions, because I think the Netflix thing is only just going to go up in terms of price, but as soon as enough stuff is over there, I think a lot of people will then cancel and never become null and void, which will help a lot of people, because there's one less subscription per month you need to worry about.
Yeah,
because the cost of living and all that shit, you know, that even if it's only like X amount of months, it all adds up in the end.
No, I mean, I'm probably like, I don't know what you are for social, like media subscriptions and shit, but I think I am about 20 plus, just over 20 for my Spotify and Netflix.
Like, yeah, I've got, I pay my like things I pay myself are my Spotify and my Amazon Prime for both. I even watch and stuff on Prime and also my shopping and everything. But in terms of like my brother, I think my brother pays, I think, for at least the Disney Plus and the now, I don't know if he pays in Netflix, but like he pays the main thing and then I give him half of it every month.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got a thing because we got like a family Netflix account and everything. Like, we've got like different profiles each on Netflix and on Disney Plus. Yeah, I think also subscription things are the main thing that can kind of eat out you without realizing in terms of your monthly. Yeah. Don't worry, get into that character. But yeah,
see, I've got a double screen subscription on Netflix, so like I can use it and Seb can use it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, but going back to the Iron Claw again, yeah, I knew the story and everything, and like we'll go on this in more detail when we do an episode on it. But I think in terms of like a story that would also reach into your big movie fans who maybe aren't into wrestling, don't know as much about it. This is quite the story. Especially the fact that you think you can have that tag is based on a true story, like on it, because like if you didn't say that it was a true story, but somebody didn't know that it was true, they think the amount of tragedy that was just put in there was maybe a bit overkill, but then you're like, no, this is all real shit that happened. One unfortunate family.
We verified that all this shit happened in such a small space of time as well.
I think it's maybe within 5 or less than a decade or so.
Yeah, but
all 4 out of the 5 of them passed.
When you think of that in the grand scheme of things, that's such a minuscule amount of time. You know, like this family went from being one of the biggest things, and let's be honest, at the time the territories were fucking important, right?
Yeah.
So let's be honest, like the biggest thing in Texas at the time, like they were, what do they say, even in documentaries, not just film, but even in documentaries, they were fucking rock stars, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like David was going to Japan, then Kevin was big up,
mm-hmm.
Kerry was big, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, they came from the great man himself, Fritz.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, you think of it, thing, you get glimpses of it, you know, because the mum doesn't have as big a role in the film, but especially towards the latter half, but you think the toll it takes on her as a parent, not once, but like multiple times, having to bury a child, and the emotional toll that takes on you.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to comment on that one.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You know, but I would never want to be in that position. You know, it'd be horrible.
Because like, when you have a big family, the idea chances of going to funerals on a regular basis is very high, and like that can cause everything. But then being in her position, how frequently is it was happening? Like you can't even imagine like what that does to a person mentally. You know?
Yeah. It's sad. I fucking give condolence to every person that's gone through that shit, you know?
Like,
God, we've got it on a somber note here.
Because like, I'm going to watch The Dark Side of the Ring really soon, like we watched the one out, because that was in like season
one. Which one are you going to watch?
Well, the one on the one out, it's in season one.
Oh, you're going to watch that one?
Yeah.
You haven't watched it?
Oh, I have seen it, but I have seen the one out one, like it's in the first season of Dark Side of the Ring, I'm going to watch it back.
Oh, you're going to watch, Like
their puts were Kevin out. It seems like after when they get to each brother's passing, like that's when he needs to have a break because reliving all this shit you can see is really hard on him.
Mm.
But,
well, fuck's sake, wouldn't it have a hard hit on you?
No, yeah, obviously, yeah. I'm not saying it wouldn't.
You know,
I'm just.
It would totally suck ass.
But. I was glad because like Sean Durkin's the name of the guy who wrote and directed this film, and you hear him talk about it, and he's clearly a guy who's watched wrestling all his life and everything.
Mm.
So again, that's another thing that's good about a film like this, like somebody with that attention to it, and the even though like with some things altered, but that's gonna happen in any based on true story movie.
Mm.
But someone with that who's gonna take that time and attention to make it as accurate as they can and. Has that appreciation for the wrestling part of it, so.
You know, what with all the somberness we got on there, I'm going to perk it up just a...
Oh, I'm just saying, you can't talk about the Iron Claw and not get somber.
Oh, I know, but I'm going to perk it up just slightly. It's most irrelevant to the conversation, but... Look, a LeBrun's book.
Uh-huh. I found like several loads in my cupboard the other day. I've been doing some stuff like cleaning and that around my house and redecorating.
Do you know why you have them in your cupboard? Because every Christmas your granny or whatever used to send you brooms and they were woolly.
I never read the brooms. I think it was my brother who had the brooms. I was never into the brooms or woolly.
I read the two of them, and the Dandy and the Beano.
I'm sure you did.
I got the annuals. And listen, it's brilliant. Books, man. Fuck your Kindles and your all electronic shit.
I didn't read a Kindle. I never mentioned the Kindle. What are you doing at me for?
I'm just saying.
Put the book down, man.
All the books.
I loved that was your solution to make things more chipper, was to talk about the Bruins.
Aye, the Bruins. Well, you're talking about all the somber Deed wrestlers and shit.
How can I not talk about it? It's a film about Deed wrestlers. What do you expect me to do?
It's a film about a family, but it's not
a wrestlers who are Deeds.
Aye, but it's not specifically about them being Deeds.
Well, how can I talk about it without mentioning that, though?
You can't, I'm just saying you need a wee bit of, you know, chipper in there after it.
Well, we're going to be doing an episode about this, so get prepared for some talk about Deed people.
Should I get the tissues?
I heard people cry when I was at the cinema.
I cried watching it. It was a hard movie to watch.
I didn't full on cry, but I did tear up and.
I bet you did. I bet you got a wee bit poofy.
How dare you? I did tear up, and there's one very moment like I did as best I could. Moment like I don't cry at movies per se. I get very emotional more so at TV show moments than I do for movies.
Hmm.
But
you haven't seen The Green Mile, have you?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
Still looking at that.
You won't need tissues when you see that. You need a fucking towel.
Yeah, but there was a moment in this film that really got me. Even though, like, I know the story and everything for the most part from documentaries and shit.
Yeah.
There was one moment that really
gave you really the weepies.
It really got me.
Go on, then.
Well, I'm not going to say it here. Yeah, that show will give you a little teaser. Hear about what makes Scott cry. A lot of things do, but, you know, this on this specific occasion, what made me cry?
You know what makes me cry? Celtic win. That makes me cry.
Yes, but they didn't recently, did they?
You know, no, they did recently. Did they? Yeah. After we won against Kilmarnock, we won 7-1 against Dundee with 7 different goal scorers.
Bad day for Dundee.
Bad day for Dundee, and oh look, Celtic actually learned how to play a game again. Well done for them. Let's see them fuck it up in the next game. Cunts.
Why do we have to sell the show by mentioning Celtic? Why did you have to do that?
I don't know. Back of the hand. A pox on me.
Bad pox.
Yes. See, I even stated it. I let the listeners know I was a prick.
Yes, you are.
Fuck you, bitch.
But anyway, to move on from the somber tennis, let's have a good chuckle at some hearty Fraser content, shall we?
Hearty Fraser content.
Yes, but in the next couple of weeks, we'll also do something more in-depth with the Von Erichs and the Iron Claw, and there will be some sadness that cannot be avoided. But
then we will also ask in the Fraser regard, what is our favourite thing about Alan?
Well, there's so much to love, there's so little time to mention it. Anyway, let's move on to the first episode.
You called me the briny bastard.
But let's move on to the first episode in this new batch. Episode 14 of Season 7, Big Crane on Campus.
Ooh.
Which won an Emmy for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series, with Jean Smart appearing as Lana or Lorna Langley. I think they would later change her name to Lana, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I believe this was the only episode she was in Lorna. I don't think she was in Lorna in more than one.
I liked her better here than when they bring her back later on for that weird thing between her, Fraser, and Claire, because I always thought, I don't know about you, I always thought Claire was the more obvious choice for Fraser. I don't know why Lana was even in the... I could kind of get the Cassandra Faye fiasco, but then this one is less clear.
I completely agree when Daphne kicked him in the shin.
Yes.
I really did.
No, I thought you were turning around to a Daphne thing about something else, but I thought, oh, yes, he's agreeing with me, never mind.
No, when Daphne kicked him in the shin for that, I agreed.
Yes.
I would have kicked him in the shin. She was a wonderful woman, Claire.
You would have kicked him in a few other places as well.
I would have kicked him right up the backside.
Hmm. Anyway.
I wouldn't have kicked him anywhere else. That is not proper, but I would have kicked him in the ass for being such an ass.
Anyway. We got Open and Cafe Nervoso with Roz sitting there and Frasier joining her. And actually, Roz joins Frasier while he sits. And
Frasier, oh, does she?
Yes. And Frasier, she's there and goes, Frasier, thank God you're here.
Why? What's wrong, Roz?
My book club meets tonight. I haven't read the book.
Oh, my. That is literally 911. Wait, you joined a book club?
Why is that so hard to believe? I like to read.
What's his name?
His name is Jason.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We met in a bookstore. He asked me to join his club. He separated my tickets for keeps. He was buying Divorce for Dummies.
Sounds like a real catch, Roz.
Anyway, I was supposed to read The Great Gatsby last night. Quick summary. Could you... No, that's not... Anyway, I was supposed to read The Great Gatsby last night, but I couldn't get Alice to sleep, so can you give me a quick summary? She takes a big notepad and pen.
Well, all right. It was a time known as the Jazz Age. Young people were doing a new dance called the... Wall Street was booming, bootleg hooch was flowing, and the young people were doing a new dance called the Charleston.
I do love the way he kills me into a new dance called Charleston. Where were you when I was trying to get Alice to sleep? Which we learned you can put baby sleep in the new Frasier. But could you get to it already?
All right, fine.
Then he notices a woman coming into the bar. To the cafe.
And he's like, Lord Lanley.
Okay, who's she? Gatsby's girlfriend?
The woman who just walked in. She was a great beauty of my high school. She had brains, looks, style, and the way she filled out a mohair sweater. Suffice to say, it was snugger on her than on the goat.
Well, why don't you go over and say hello?
Oh, God, Ross, she wouldn't even remember me. She was with the in crowd. The only people that knew me, debated, recited, were on the 6 month visit from Abu Dhabi. God, she's coming over.
Because she was looking over and like, excuse me, didn't we go to high school together?
Did we?
Yes, I thought you looked familiar. You're Frasier, aren't you?
Oh, that's right. All right, let me guess. Lisa?
Lorna.
Ah, yes, of course. Hello. Roz, I'd like to meet Lorna and Lanley.
I do love that bit where he just rattles off her name.
Anywhere close?
She kind of just looks at him like, yeah, good. Although it's gardening now, but I'm going back to Lanley. I'm recently divorced.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry to hear that. Roz, our chatting isn't bothering you, is it?
Oh, no, actually, right. I gotta go. She sees her coffee.
So, I'm divorced myself, actually.
Yes, I know. I listen to your show.
Really?
Well, I mean, I sell real estate, so I'm in my car all the time, so whenever I can, I turn you on.
Oh, my.
Frasier's to go, oh, my. The only person that does it better is George Takei. And then her mobile goes and is like, excuse me, I have to take this.
No problem.
No, he says, no problemo.
No problemo.
And then he gets it, gives him that look, so he's like, why did I say that?
And he leans over to Roz and he's like, she's just as lovely as ever.
So why don't you ask her out?
Oh, right. Lex Lanley and Crane the Brain in my dreams.
Frasier, you act like you're still some dorky teenager. You're a charming, successful man.
Thank you, Roz.
No problemo. Lorna comes over. Like, excuse me, I have to show a house, Frasier, but it was really nice seeing you again.
Oh, likewise. Lorna, listen, I realize this is out of the blue and you're very busy, but I'm wondering if you might like to...
His boss is like, she's like, yes?
Appraise my apartment? You see, I've decided to sell it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. In fact, I'm free tonight.
Really? Oh, well, that's house 7 o'clock. I live in LEB Towers.
Oh, well, a great building.
Yes, well.
Well, you've certainly done well for yourself.
Yes, well, I think you'll find we've both come a long way since high school, you know. Here, let me count those for you.
He grabs these books, he's getting he helps carry it to car, smirking with Roz, like a teenager, showing off that he is like a teenager carrying the books for this girl. And we go back to the apartment, Martin's getting ready to leave, he's putting his coat on.
Dad, should we hear any minute?
All right, I'm leaving.
Listen, I'm sorry to brute you like this.
Oh, that's fine. I'd rather clear out the decks for a day than one of your theme parties. Although I'm kind of sorry I missed an evening with Mo Howard.
That was Noel Coward.
and he's like, Niles.
Oh, Niles, what are you doing here?
Well, I mean, I've got a crisis. Tomorrow's Mel's birthday and I'm planning a romantic evening, but my Gugino is on the fritz.
Oh, jeez, I don't need to hear about this.
Dad. It's a stove.
I know. 6 burners or grill. Don't you guys ever talk about cars?
Yes, they would, but they'd be German-made cars. But Frasier and Niles go like, Frasier, I'm desperate. Could I possibly use your kitchen tomorrow to prepare this meal?
Yes, of course, Niles. But listen. Now, you've got to go. I have a date.
Oh. And then fucking Quake knows Legos. Anyone I know?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, Lorna Lanley.
Ooh. No, really, who?
It's true. I bumped into her today at the cafe.
Lorna Lanley, you stare have moxie. Even with all my vested authority as a hall manager, I can never muster up the courage to see your bathroom pass and you asked her out. Well, I bow down before you. I doff my cap to you, sir.
Well, actually, it's not really a dick.
I knew it.
You see, she's coming over to appraise the apartment. She's in real estate, and I tried to ask her out, but I joked. And I did get the impression that she was interested in me, Lo.
Well, of course she is. Oh, and the coach calls. You're starting the big game on Sunday.
Oh, right. Now, off you go.
And then Harry wants to see you, and I'm like, no, I want to see her. Like, and then you hear the doorbell going, and you just, like, starlight. And he's like, she's here. Okay, one quick hello, and then you're gone, mister. Then he opens the door, like, hello, Fraser.
Laura, good to see you again. Perhaps you remember my brother, Niles.
Oh, yes. Hello, Niles.
Niles can only go... Well, now that you two have had a chance to catch up, I'll see you later.
Nice seeing you again, Niles. And she's like, oh, Fraser, wow, what a great apartment.
Thank you.
Why are you selling?
Oh, I don't want to bore you with the details. It's a very long, complicated story.
Well, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, well, I need more closet space. Could I interest you in some wine?
Oh, I'd love some. Then she sees her jacket just laid somewhere, and then she sees Martin's chair. She doesn't seem to like it. I'm like, oh, do you remember when Chip Clayton's graduation party? Remember when we broke into his father's liquor cabinet and we made sangria out of a $100 bottle of wine? And Fraser laughs at
him. He's like, no.
And then there's a wee bit where she's kind of looking around the...
He's trying to take some notes on his apartment.
Yeah, and then we get the Fraser's inner monologue.
And he's like, what are you doing? Tell her why you really asked her over here and drop this dishes your aid. You're not 16 years old any longer.
Fraser, I'd love to see your bedroom.
Of course. And then he's like, let's see my bedroom. He's such a kid in this one.
And then she comes in and goes, oh, another great room. And she's looking around like, is this bed Scandinavian? Like, you have a good eye. And then she sits on like, Lauren Lenny's on my bed. Stop acting like an adolescent. And so you're right. And then this is when he finally got the courage to tell her the truth.
No, actually, Lauren, I'm not all right. You see, when I saw you this afternoon, I immediately flashed back to her the hopeless crush I had in you in high school. Of course, it didn't help matters. Much that you've hardly changed a bit. And I wanted to ask you out, and I lost my nerve.
I mean, all this was just a ruse to get me up here?
I'm afraid so. So now that I've sufficiently embarrassed myself, I'll show you out.
Well, you know, Fraser, I have to say I'm really flattered.
Really?
Yes, it's not too late to ask me out.
Would you like to have dinner with me this evening?
I'd love to.
Wonderful.
And then just very calmly, you can see looking at his face, and then back to the inner voice, like, I'm going over to Lorna Lanley. So, some people would be annoyed that he lied. She seems to admire his everything he went to, but also, as you mentioned, she can tell he's genuine about his actions.
I'm like, honest, I just fancied you. I was too scared to see you.
And then there comes the word text that comes up between. It says, too good to be gone, but the two and the four. It's too good, as in the number two. Two is in the number two, to be, and then four. And then
too good to be forgotten.
And then it goes to the Fraser and Lana waking up in the child's arms in the morning.
And she's like, hi. And he's like, hi.
And she's like, I had a wonderful time last night.
Me too. It's like being back in high school, but with sex.
She laughs like, I don't want to stand.
I must warn you, now that I've learned to finally ask you out, I'll be doing a lot more of it. Are you free this evening? You see, there I go already. How about tomorrow night? Somebody stop me.
And she laughs and goes, not me. And they have a little kiss and she's like, I wonder what time it is. And the creature gets up to look at the clock above his bed.
He's like, it's 10 o'clock.
And this is where we get a big switch in there. As soon as she's at 10 o'clock, crap, I'm late. She sits up, she's going
for it. She's like, is there something I can do?
She's feeling like rushing through her looking for like aspirin. And I'm like, look, can you make this loudly hangover go? Like, where the hell are those aspirin? She like empties in her handbag. And
perhaps I could get you a glass of water for Lils, or you prefer sparkling or chill?
And then she takes up some remaining of some wine in a glass and she uses that to wash down her aspirin.
Or not. I see you're fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to finish this?
No. you're the guest.
As you get on the phone, like, yeah, it's me, I'm running late. Move my 10:30 to 11:30. I don't know, just move it to 11:30. And she starts taking her cigarette lights up.
She's like, I didn't realize you smoked.
I'm always trying to quit, but my weight just balloons up. Trust me, you don't want to see my ass when I'm off these things.
And he's like, you know, I hate to be a fuss pot, but I prefer...
Before rings, and you're like, yeah? Well, who let the dog in? Put your brother on. Put your brother on! Put your brother on! Oh, Fairy, would you be a sweetie and give me some coffee?
Okay.
You better not... If you know if there's a mess, you better clean out by the time I get home. Both of you, put your brother on. Put your brother on! Put your brother on the phone! Fraser very frankly runs past them. Isn't this nice?
I loved her on this episode.
Fucking Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, I don't.
Then it opens up in the apartment. Martin's coming with Mick now. They're carrying groceries and everything. Like, I was like, I still understand why you had to do all the cooking. Why didn't you sit Mel out for a nice meal?
Well, because through cooking, I can truly express my feelings for her. You know, the French have a saying.
Okay. I was just making conversation until we got home. He immediately starts goes into the kitchen. And then Fraser comes out. Hi, Dad. Hello, Niles.
Huh. I could really use some help preparing this dish today if you're not busy.
Oh, gosh, now I have a lot of errands to run, you know. Why don't you ask Daphne?
All right. Oh, how did things go with Laura? Did you summon up the courage to ask her out?
Well, actually...
Oh, come on, Fraser, seize the moment. Faint heart never won fair lady, you know. The French have a saying.
And Laura disappears behind you, like, hi, Niles. It's like... And he goes, okay, it's like, and as they walk out, she's like, I got some great news, and she's lighting out another cigarette.
Do tell.
Well, I call my office, and after my 11:30, I'm free for the rest of the day.
Oh, well. All right, what are you planning on doing?
Well, spending as time as you, silly, and she's kind of kissing him as the other woman, there's an elderly woman standing there, and it's like, excuse me, I'm coming! You know, you're the best thing that happened to me in a long time. She gets in, like, and then she finally... She's like, she's all hot kissing all that. She gets in the elevator eventually and she looks at the old one like, I'm in, you happy? Fraser breathes out and there's some cigarette fumes coming out. And the next person comes up, there's the rubbers. We have Daphne and Niles in the kitchen. Trina's almost like it's a bloody surgery.
Yeah.
Like, whisk. And there was spoon. Cheesecloth. And she wipes his brow. Much more to wipe in later seasons after his hairline recedes.
Yeah.
Like, she opens up the oven, I'm like, perfect time. And she goes, ready? Shall I close, Dr. Crane?
Please.
Do you think it'll be all right?
It's out of our hands now, Daphne.
And they both laugh, because they know it's better. Like, and he's like, oh, thank you for your help.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've had this much fun in the kitchen since your brother got his tie in the pasta machine.
Yes, the real fun's just beginning. Now, the cleanup. And he picks up a pan and ends up burning himself.
She's like, oh, you silly sod. Here, run it under the cold water. I'll fetch this aloe cream. Come here.
I can't believe I just did that.
Oh, I do that sort of thing all the time. You must be careful. Those panhandles get awfully hot.
Oh, anymore. It's got a protective coating of thin skin on it. And she gets kind of carried away and she can't lose his focus.
Yeah, and she's rubbing the cream and she's just give it a minute to rub in.
That'll be fine. It carries on. I'm feeling much better. He looks a bit kind of awkward to himself, doesn't he? Then, when Martin comes in,
Niles goes, thanks, Daphne.
And then Martin's like, hey, what's up? And
she goes, Daphne's on Niles. He's like, nothing. Why would anything be up? Dr. Graham put his hand. I was in to do it. That's all. Why, look at the time. I've got to run.
Obviously, she talks up through something like oven timer. And she's like, oh, look at the time.
Yeah.
Burn, huh? Well. When I keep something cold on that, he grabs a beer from me. He's like, here, you can have my beer for me while I watch the game. Niles is a bit perplexed about what just happened with Daphne, so he goes to the cafe and meets up with Fraser. He's like, hello, Fraser.
Hello, Niles, how are you?
Fine, although the oddest thing just happened.
Well, that man on the car, his name is Pete. If you give him $1, his monkey won't make those rude gestures.
Well, there's a bit of a pause, but Niles just kind of stares at him about that. No, it's about Daphne. I burned my hand while I was cooking, and she began putting first aid cream on, and in a very tender way, and then Dad came in, and she jumped up as if she felt guilty. Is it possible that Daphne has feelings for me?
No.
Oh, well, as long as you consider it from all angles.
If she was tender, it's because you burned your hand. If she jumped it, because Dad started her. Come on, Niles, can't you see what's really going on here?
Well, obviously, I don't have a clue. I thought that man's monkey was waving hello.
Your relationship with Mel is growing deeper. Isn't it possible that your fear of commitment is driving your mind to throw up imaginary roadblocks?
You think so?
Well, you do have a history with this. Remember the day after you proposed to Maris? You went that evening to the opera. You were convinced that Leontine Price was winking at you the whole night.
I suppose it could be a commitment issue here. Cooking a meal for once maybe is a big step.
Yes, especially for you. I mean, Maris never let you cook for her.
That's true. Close as I ever got was restocking the pills in her bedside Lazy Susan. And then Roz is in the bag with her copy of Wuthering Heights. And his day was a bit ill. He's like, hey, guys.
Oh, hey, Roz. Fraser, thank you. It's a big help.
My pleasure, Niles. And Roz says, back comes in and he's like, oh, Roz, I see the book club moves on to Wuthering Heights. Well.
Oh, please. Tell me they made a movie out of this.
Twice.
Hey, man. How'd your date with Lorna go? Did you get up the nerve to ask her for dinner?
To dinner and breakfast. We spent the night together.
Whoa, you went to bed with the prom queen?
Yes, I woke up with Carrie. She smokes, she screams, she's uncouth. Nice of meeting her here to break it off.
So soon?
Well,
with the way your love life's been going, you may want to squeeze a couple more dates out of it. You know, nuts for the winner.
Please, Ross, you never do that sort of thing. Whenever I know there's absolutely no future with a woman, I end it right there. Especially a woman like Lorna, recently divorced and vulnerable.
You always take the high road.
Oh, you know, I like to think so. You know, there's one thing I've learned. My old high school, woman, you're not going to be healed by sitting with a prom queen.
Tell me about it, prom queen, assistant principal. You can't go home again.
He just kind of looks a bit shocked to what she said. Like, that Roz has always been a bit of a...
Then Roz looks like... Lorna walks in with a cigarette and Roz looks razor. She's like, good luck.
And she's then like, how are you doing, baby case? She kisses him again with a cigarette and everything.
Thank you. Now, listen, Lauren, about tomorrow night...
I'm sorry. I know we had plans, but I completely forgot. It's a retirement dinner for Coach Pellet.
Who?
Our high school football coach. I'd love for you to go with me.
Well, I have to be honest with you here.
Oh, come on, it'll be fun. The old gang will be there.
The old gang, you say? You mean like Chip Clayton and Lord Lumpquist?
Yeah, the whole crowd. Imagine their faces when they see us walk in together.
Yes, imagine.
Come on, say you'll be my date.
I wouldn't want to let down the coach.
They both smile as we just raise our coffee and like, you know, a spoon would be nice. I do love a good Fraser. Feels like, oh, you don't want to hurt feelings. But then the chance for his ego to be shown, get one over on the people who probably were
to him. We get to scene 4 in Fraser's high school and Fraser and Lorna get in. She's like, oh, everyone's inside already. We're a little late.
Goes, well, I guess we'll have to make a grand entrance after you.
I just have to check my makeup.
And he's ready to desperate for him to get in. So they can be seen together like, well, white temper with perfection.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Yeah, shall we? But then our phone goes.
Yeah, she's like, what now? What? What? My phone's playing up. I'm sorry, just 2 seconds, sweetie.
And then she's
back shouting to the phone.
Before that, Fraser hits a little peek inside to see who's there.
Yeah, and he's all excited, and then she's back on the phone. She's like, no, you can't have a party. Because I said so. Put your brother on. Put your brother on. Put your brother on the phone. No, she's like, put your brother on, just seconds, really, on the phone. You know, do what you want. I'm on a date.
Are you ready?
Oop, you know what? This hook keeps coming undone.
You know, I just took a little sign there, you know. Everyone see her, you know, Mr. Most Likely to See Chip Clayton.
Chip Clayton's a moron.
Well, I used to be rather fond of him back in high school.
Well, everybody's changed since high school. Except you. Surely, you're still the same sweet, decent guy you always were.
Thank you.
No, I mean it. Believe me, I've been with enough jerks and users to know the difference. Let's go.
Oh, no, I can't go there. Her words obviously made him feel a bit guilty. He's like, I can't go in there.
Why not?
Well, because I came here with all the wrong reasons, you know. I wanted all the Coke's team to come in with the most popular girl, and I literally there maybe a chance for some sort of future when I know in my heart there isn't one. So, you know, walking in there, you'd be my trophy, and I just can't do that to you. I'm sorry.
You expect me to walk in a room full of my ex-classmates by myself? Like some pathetic divorcee who couldn't scare up a date for some old jock send-off? I don't think so.
Why not?
You know, I thought you'd be a nice rebound fling, get my feet wet dating again. You don't want that? That's fine. But I'll tell you what we are going to do. You are going to take my arm, you're going to escort me in that room, and we're going to dance. Make out like Frenchmen and leave with your hand on my ass. You got it?
Shall we? He says on the couch, as so the two trophies walk in the room together, we don't, that's when it fades to black. So clearly she didn't have much long-term aspirations either, but she's like, come on, I don't want to go in by myself. It's right.
Fuck you, cunt. Don't care what you're here for. You've gone in with me.
Right, and then as the credits, we have Roz with this aforementioned Jason chatting about this book in Roz's doctor bag, which he insists on picking up for her, and then he finds Cliff Notes in the bag. And Roz, you can't really tell, but he's kind of trying to pass off, joke about it, but he ends up leaving.
Yeah, he's not having it.
Jason, played by Jamie's real-life husband, Marshall Cohen.
Really?
Well, as it says here, or Coben, sorry, I thought that was an H, but it's
wow, do you know what, until you pointed it out right there, I never ever knew that.
Until I read it right there, I didn't know it either.
Well, hey, something new we learned about Fraser.
Yeah, every day's a school day.
It is.
Overall thoughts on this episode, Paul?
I really love this episode.
Yeah?
I really do. Double thumbs up.
You go so far as a double thumbs up?
I really do. I think it's a really fun episode. Mm. It really is. Mm. For many reasons, right? It's a season 7 episode.
Mm.
Daphne still hasn't pissed me off yet.
Mm-hmm.
Niles is still with the right woman. Fraser's been a twat as per usual.
Mm.
Lorna's cool as fuck.
Yeah, we get another instance of Fraser's
stupidness.
Well, his ego, I was going to say.
Well, yeah, his ego, but a little bit of his dumbassery as well.
Mm-hmm.
His social ineptitude.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Anyway, but yeah, I don't think of that single thing, because I like Lorna in this kind of role, but I go to kind of dislike, well, from what I remember when I watched before, I go to kind of dislike her during that whole thing, you know, Claire, and then the bit with Kirby when his dad comes back and everything. I just don't like the way Fraser treated her or Claire during that run. But maybe I'll think differently when we get to that. That's around the end of season 8 into season 9 character.
Hey, come on. This episode has an iconic Fraser scene.
Mm.
Or quotable line, you know. Put your brother on the phone!
Wait, it just gets louder as Fraser's going around the bed to go get up, and he's fucking sprinting like
he's looking terrified. The best bit. Put your brother on the... Wait a minute, sweetie. On the phone!
Would you be a dear, make me some coffee? Just the back of all that you said, like the fucking... Go to bed, I promise you, wake up a kid.
That classic scene, she's sitting there with a wine glass in her hand and a cigarette. And like, this is nice.
Yes, I'm sure you'd enjoy something like that as well.
Yeah. This is nice.
Yeah, just a single thumbs up for me on that one. But
a singular thumbs up?
Yes, just a singular.
Where do you get off on that rating?
Like that. But anyway, double thumbs up is still rare. I still feel is rarefied air, and I don't think this episode, as good as it is, quite cracks that territory.
Well, I give it a double thumbs up because I'm very negatory in a lot of season 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've actually found more to like season 7 so far, at least in the first half, I think. I mean, maybe we might think differently going to the latter half, but so far I think there's been more good than bad from what I've seen.
See, I give double thumbs up because it's a really fun episode. Characters are great.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't leached into this part of season 7 where I start to become very coloured by my emotions.
Yeah. I think rewatchability also has a thing for me in terms of double thumbs, like ones I could watch multiple times. And while I probably could watch this a few more times, I don't think it has as much rewatchability as some other episodes that would also get the double thumbs up rating.
But like, rude, wurr.
Yeah, I love that. But a wee thing about, a couple of notes about this next episode, Out With Dad, which is episode 15. One, it's a rated 9 out of 10 on IMDb, which is one of the higher ratings that an episode of Fraser has ever had. Out With Dad, which has a double meaning, as in they're going out together, and out as in to be come out.
Yeah.
The whole part of the plot line is Martin pretending to be gay. But a couple of things about this episode. One is the reference to Tilda de Cagney, who is not a real opera singer, but there's someone who they mention, but it's a reference to the real-life name of the dog trainer who trains Moose, who
is
Eddie, which is a nice little wink and a nod. But as I was also saying, this is one of the higher-rated episodes on IMDb with a 9 out of 10.
A wink and a nod.
Yes. It's the second-highest-rated episode of Fraser of Season 7, with behind the finale, which is a 9.1. To put it in context, the two highest rated episodes overall of Fraser of the original series on IMDb are second place is Hamrido at 9.4 and Ski Lodge at 9.5. So the fact that this is a 9 and then finale is a 9.1 shows that the fans who watch it, who give ratings on IMDb, feel very strongly about these particular episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I never realised this would be an episode that people felt that strongly about, but maybe the themes basically nowadays there are a lot of people talk about. But yeah, it's a Valentine's Day episode, which is funny given that in recent a time recording it was Valentine's Day not too long ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, I saw a lot of people sharing that leap day, like take a leap thing, because it was a leap year this year.
Yeah.
I kept forgetting it was a leap year this year, but yeah. Roz comes into the apartment, which is here, spent some time with Daphne watching movies. Well, because it was...
Yeah. I was just like, hey, Martin, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thanks, Roz. You're with us tonight, huh?
Yeah, we were in a couple of sad chick movies.
Oh, it's not like you not to have a date on Valentine's Day.
Tell me, I usually try for a second seating.
And I was like, oh, you think me being engaged, I'd have a guaranteed date, but no. Donnie had to go to Florida, his grandmother. She'd do anything to come between us.
Oh, what'd she do this time?
She died. To which Frasier comes in and he's like, good lord, where is Niles? I don't want to be late for the opera.
Are you going out with Niles on Valentine's Day?
Well, it's a subscription series, see? We got these tickets months ago. We had no idea what date this fell on.
So, Dr. Crane is not spending tonight with Mel?
No, no, she's out of town. Some sort of medical conference. And the doorbell goes as he walked down. So he said, you know, I'm actually sorry for Niles, but I'm really glad to have an old-fashioned boys' night out. As Niles is on the phone as he comes in.
He's like, I can't wait here. I'll see you in 20 minutes, Valentine.
And Frasier, looking at gas, goes, that better be the seat duster in our opera box.
No, it was Mel. The last minute she decided to skip her conference.
So I'll be going to the opera by myself.
Oh, well, here's a thought. If you give Mel your opera ticket, then you won't have to be alone. You can stay here and watch fun movies with Roz and Daphne. Oh, Dying Young. It's a classic.
I'm surprised at your gall. The last minute you normally bail on me, you expect to give up my own ticket.
Please, Frasier, put yourself in my shoes. I have to do something for Mel. Every restaurant in town has been booked for weeks. I ran into Archie Wilfong today. He told me he had to settle for two seats at the counter at that salad experience. What would you suggest I do?
Bring your own wine or the spicy Caesar.
May your opera box be full of surveying clinkers and stage swarming with standbys.
Get out! As Niles slams the door, he goes too far.
And then Roz is like, yeah, some nerve, ditching you to spend Valentine's Day with his girlfriend.
Look, Barry, don't blame you for being a little jealous, you know, just because he has someone you don't.
I'm not jealous, Dad. I'm simply appalled by his rudeness. I was looking forward to this evening. Pours himself a drink, and he's like, nice drink, of the opera, late supper. Perhaps a bottle of wine, delightful dessert souffle. Oh God, I need a wine.
And then I looked down here. Oh, remember my friend Rowena? She's much prettier since the surgery. Look at her face, you can't even tell where it used to be.
With her face?
Like, and then every little drop to this good line was, you look at her face, you can't even tell where the extra one was. So God knows what the fuck she was on about there.
He's like, thank you, Daphne. But actually, I already have someone in mind, you see. There's a stunning young woman who comes to the opera and inseminates as we do. She has a box right across from ours. We flirted a bit from a distance. I've laughed with her during Figaro, cried with her during Tosca. I've even had a dream about her during Einstein on the beach.
Oh, well, don't just stare and make a move.
I will, Roz. Tonight's night. By the finale, I will have made my overture. Dad, would you please come with me?
The opera? What do you need me for?
Dad, I can't go with a woman because then she'll think I'm on a date. If I go alone, she'll never go and get a date.
It looks pretty pathetic, and Dad Martin's just like, ah, oh, jeez.
Daphne's like, well, you could stay home and watch us and with us and watch sad movies.
Then Frasier looks at the window, goes, Sophie's choice. I'll say it is. And they're both sitting in the opera box. And then Frasier's got his big glass. They both got the big glass. And Martin's like, is she here yet?
No, not yet. This is her box over here. The empty one.
Well, I'm not going to sit through the whole opera for some woman who's not even here.
Oh, for God's sake, Dad, give it a chance. You might actually learn to like it if you listen to one.
Hey, your mother dragged me to a lot of these things when we were dating, and they're all stupid. These stories make no sense whatsoever.
Well, that's not true.
All right, what's this one about?
Well, it's about Rigoletto, a hunchback jester in the court of the Duke. He has a daughter, Gilda, who's secretly living with him. But everyone thinks that she's his mistress. In this opening scene, Rigoletto mocks the Duke's enemy, puts a curse on him.
A curse on his back dating his daughter. Well, nothing's screwy so far.
He is not dating his daughter. Gilda is being courted by Leduc, who's disguised as a humble student.
You see, that's what I mean. The whole thing's so unrealistic. Everyone's in love, pretending to be someone they're not, all swooning and gasping. Yes, exactly like that.
Dad, she's here. She's here. She's not on a date. That must be her mother.
And then Martin gets to the class, he's like, wow, you're right. She is a looker, all right.
All right, don't gawk, don't gawk. She'll notice.
Well, I thought that was kind of the point. You gotta get her attention. He starts waving across the...
He's like, no, Dad, please, don't wave. Just keep your eye on the stage.
All right. But I bet you that gets results. If it lights them as the offer's about to start.
And then, you're right, Dad, it did.
There's already a guess, and I'm like, oh, God. And he's like, God, I wasn't waving at her. I was waving at the daughter.
It's not what the Muller seems to think. I think she likes you. Wave back.
No, I don't want to.
Wave back. You started it. Wave back at her.
Oh, Jesus. And then they will come in out for intermission, and Martin's like, Hunchback had quite a nice voice, but the daughter was kind of screechy.
Yes, well, she's no Renata Zabali. Gosh, I didn't see them, do you?
Oh, no. I bet the old ones in the ladies room putting on more war paint. He can be quite cutting, quite brutal when he
can be. And then Fraser sees him, and he's like, here they are, just trying to be nice, Dad. If you're rude to the mother, you will ruin my chances with the daughter. And then he sees him, and he's like, well, we finally meet.
Well, I should mention Emily's played by, I think it's Marge
Helen Barker.
Yes, more known for being Catherine for over 260 episodes of CSI Vegas.
Yes.
I have another thing about somebody in this episode later on. Not my mother, the uncle. But, you know, they said, yeah, we finally meet. She's like, I feel like we're practically old friends. And the mother introduces herself to Martin. Like,
I'm Helen Browning. This is my daughter, Emily.
I'm Frederick Green. This is my father, Martin. And he's like, oh, why don't we get some champagne?
Oh, we'd love it. Thanks.
Well, let me give you a hand there, Frederick.
No. You know what, Dad? We can manage. Why don't you two stay and have a nice little chat?
Oh, lovely. And she's like, lovely production. I adore Verdi. Oh, he's one of my favorites.
Well, the woman singing Guild is a bit off.
Oh, you know, we're not at Tibaldi.
And she's like, you know, if you like Verdi so much, I happen to have a spare ticket to Aida next week.
Oh, that sounds great, but if it's a week from tonight, I'm just quite busy.
Actually, it's next Thursday.
Oh, Thursday? Well, you know, there's this thing in my wine club.
That's all right, Martin. We just met. I shouldn't have asked.
Oh, no, Helen, like, nothing about you to do with me. I'm afraid I've given you the wrong impression about me. I see,
And then she's like, gay?
Yeah, right, gay.
Thought you might be. How many straight men remember Renata Tibaldi?
That's some questions to Fraser there. Not many. He looks over at Fraser.
And then she's like, well, I'm sorry if I was too far. It's just that sometimes it's so hard to meet a man.
Tell me.
And Fraser comes out and he's like, here we are, Dad. Actually, good news. Emily has agreed to just join me for the nightcap after the opera. Cast her eye over my African art collection.
And then the bell sounds for act two.
And then Fraser's like, oh, well.
Very nice to meet you. Nice meeting you, too.
And then Fraser's like, at the artist, he's like, I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm. As they leave, he turns to Martin.
And then Fraser's like, so how do we do with Helen? Did we offend her? Did you?
It's like, not at all. Turns out I'm just not her type. And then the two of them are like, well?
Opera queen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Still, you know who you'd be perfect for?
Yes, you know what? He's here tonight. I'll bring him. And then Fraser and Martin walk back up their seats to their section.
And he's like, right, Dad, we better hurry up. We don't want to miss this second act.
I don't care. It's just be more goofy stuff than never happens in real life. He even says he's in the right trombone in real life is a big opera buff.
Yeah.
He taught a lot of that stuff about opera and classical music to David Hyde Pierce.
Taught David Hyde Pierce about wine, too.
Yes. And because by the Fraser department, Daphne and Roger are sitting sobbing over the movie, and Fraser comes in and immediately turns it off. She's like, how's the opera?
Lovely. Get out.
Wait, the movie's not over.
Too bad, Roz. There's a stunning woman on the way over here. I don't want her thinking I'm running this out of model and sorority house. Now, come on, shake a leg.
Right, so you actually spoke to her? You didn't wimp out?
You've never seen me so suave.
Well, some Valentine's Day first my date bails, and now I owe Daphne $50. And then he's kind of turns about looking not amused by the whole thing. Martin is holding to be like, well, hello there. Will you be my Valentine?
Dad, will you get a glass, please?
Oh, right, as he leaves.
And drink it quickly. The last thing I need tonight is a third wheel cramping my stomach.
as he opens the door with Emily there with her uncle Edward, played by Brian Bedford, who appears in Tales of the City with Dan Butler. But I have two other interesting facts, Paul.
Oh, do tell, do tell.
Well, I looked him up on IMDb, like, to see if there's anything notable, because he seems like an older age. His photo's in black and white. He sadly passed away in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, I think in his 80s by then.
Yeah.
But then I looked at some of the
photos. He had good innings.
Yes, and a quite long career even before this. But I looked at his IMDb and I saw some photos, like, so usually I mentioned some different things he'd been in. I looked at a couple of photos, it looks like some big production. I'm like, that looks really familiar. I'm sure I've seen something like that before. He was in the Christmas Carol musical with Kelsey Grammer that we reviewed for Eclectic Escapades over Christmas.
Holy shit.
I don't think it was last Christmas, I think it was Christmas before that. But
yeah,
he was bloody Fezziwig in that.
Good God.
But also, and I didn't know that, then I closed my eyes a bit and I heard the voice, I'm like, that is him. He was Robin Hood in the Disney 70s version of Robin Hood.
Oh, for
the cartoon,
fuck's
the fox
sake.
One.
Yeah.
The fox. He
fuck's
was in that.
Sake.
Bloody Robin Hood and bloody John Mahoney.
The more you know, eh?
I know.
The more you know.
I was 2 years old when I realised that the guy who voiced Robin Hood in Disney was in this episode.
There you go.
As the uncle of the lassie from CSI. What a
that'd
weird
be a good,
we live in.
That'd be a good fucking sneaky quiz question.
Hmm.
What is Fraser's association with Disney?
And if we get desperate enough, a fun wee Eclectic Escapades as well.
Mm-hmm. That'd win as a punishment podcast because no one would know that shit other than us.
Yeah. Anyway, it's come. Where are we?
You lost your place.
I've lost my place. Hello.
Hello.
I hope you don't mind. Edward here was at the opera too. He's my partner.
Your partner?
At the gallery. I'm also her uncle.
Oh, when you said partner, I thought you meant romantic partner.
Exactly. Hardly.
He's like, oh, Fraser. I'm Fraser.
Oh, Fraser. What a marvellous view. Do you mind? And he goes,
he's like, yes, please.
And he's like, your father, is he dating anyone? This is Emily asking this.
Well, no, but if you're thinking about your mother, I'm afraid they're not really right for each other.
She laughs like, yes, I meant Edward.
Your uncle?
Yes.
And my father?
Well, they're both single, they both love opera, they're both married with kids when they, you know, came out of the closet. Your dad told my mother all about it.
Oh, did he?
Well, she asked him out and he had to be honest with her. As Martin enters and notices Edward in the balcony, he's like, hi there.
Yes. A little honesty to diffuse an awkward situation.
And he meets, he notices Edward coming in, he's like, he's kind of actually happy to see when he's on. He's like, oh, hi, how are you?
Let me take your coat, Dad. This is Edward, Emily's uncle. He's her partner in her art gallery. Edward, this is my father, Martin.
Please, so meet you, Martin. He's like, same here. My friends call me Marty.
And Marty it is.
I like Edward. I should just say that, by the
he's
way.
He's like, I love what you've done with this place. It's a perfect blend of sleek elegance.
And he looks over the chair.
And he's like, audacious whimsy.
Oh, I like that, you know. You know what? Edward's one of my favourite names.
Really?
Yes, I even call my dog Eddie. Eddie! As Eddie rushes up onto the on the chair. And he was like, oh, Jack Russell. He loves Jack Russell.
I have three of them. All girls.
Oh, well, we gotta get them together. You never know. A little romance might bloom. He's looking at Edward's character.
And he's like, you know, Dad, maybe we should go fetch our new friend some drinks.
And they was like, oh, I'd love some white wine. And Mark's like, how about you, Ed?
And Edward's like, why not a beer?
Oh, man after my own heart. As we walk into the kitchen. He's pouring the beer for Ed.
Martin's pouring a beer into the glass. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh yeah, boy, you're really something.
What?
You actually told Emily's mother you were gay?
Well, you said not to offend her. I thought it was a pretty good way, you know, to our jets without hurting your feelings.
Dad, there's something you don't understand. You see, she's told Emily.
Oh, she got a problem with it?
Oh, no, she's pretty okay with it.
Oh, I get it. You're worried that she'll know I'm straight and find out I've been lying to her mother.
Dad!
Oh, don't worry. I'll gay it up a little. He weaves his hands a little bit as he walks in. Oh, Emily, have I told you I love your hair?
Thank you, Martin.
It's divine.
Then Emily looks... Fraser, these pieces are wonderful. You've got exquisite taste.
He just sits down and he's like, he gets his taste from me. Yeah, that for me. Well, it was worth all the hours I drive from museums and entities. I tell you what, art and, you know, upholstery.
Were you in the arts?
Oh, well, actually, it's...
And Dad was a cop.
Edward's reaction, yeah, really? The uniform and everything. Yeah, in fact, that's what happened with a SIF. I took a bullet trying to bake up a robbery. I called for backup, but it never showed up.
Because you're gay.
He just goes to hat. He was like, don't think I didn't wonder about that.
You're like...
And then he's like, he just gives him a look. He's like, no, this day, that's the day I came out. Lying in the alleyway, covered with blood, bullet in my head. I said, that's it. I'm gay, I like myself, and I'm not living a lie
then
anymore.
Then Edward goes, I had exactly the same experience when I came out.
So he puts his hand on Martin's foot, and that's when Martin has a wide-eyed expression. As he looks
and he's like, not exactly, perhaps. Yours was a bullet in the hip. For me, it is a Lufthansa steward named Gunther.
And he goes, like, he's like, you know, what did I tell you? I knew they'd hit it off.
Yes, I had a feeling myself.
And
you didn't say a word, you scamp. Fraser, why don't you come help me get some snacks for everybody?
And then they get together, Martin's like, you didn't tell me this was a setup?
Well, how blind can you be, Dad? You didn't seem gay to you.
He's English. They all seem gay. That's the thing I referenced earlier.
That's one of the best lines. Lord. He's like, well,
I told you I'm doing the Martin lines.
Okay,
you're just so desperate to do nails.
Okay, I'll shout. Go.
We agreed off air. He really wants to do the nails lines because nails are some good ones. And I said, fine, I want to do Marty. And now
Marty has some good ones too.
Yeah, well, you can only add nails. Don't be so greedy.
I am not.
Yes, you are. Well, you're just gonna have to we're just going to tell him the truth.
Oh, what? You found her mother so attractive you pretended to be gay? Dad, Emily's the most fabulous woman I've ever met in ages. And if you screw this up for me, I will never forgive you. So sit, be nice, all right?
But what if he asked me out for a date?
I have news for you. You're on a date.
I do love how he emphasizes, oh, she was a good woman. I don't want to ruin my chance with her. We never see her again, by the way. As then Daphne's sitting there.
Yeah, and he's like, we've just been chatting with your delightful physical therapist, Marty.
Oh, he's a charm in this one, yeah. Yeah, aren't you glad you went to the opera? I keep telling him we should go out and meet more people. Last night she sits at home watching the telly.
He's exact same way. Watch anything.
And I'm like, with him, it's mostly sports. Just give him a bunch of sweaty men chasing each other around the field, isn't he?
Daphne, where are we keeping the camembert these days?
The place we always do is he pushes her to the kitchen.
Yeah, Emily's like, you were smart to hire a woman for physical therapy. Much safer, little man. Edward sprained his leg last year.
All right, Emily.
I never trusted that man.
All right.
No, he's like, all right, Emily.
And why you loaned him your boat?
All right, Emily.
He's very strong there. And then the feature comes in. Daphne is trying not to laugh. Anyway, like, oh, thank you for you. I'd love to see the rest of your apartment. That's no trouble.
Why, that's no trouble at all.
As they walk off, and Mara like, Fraser, can I just...
Now, Dad, don't worry. I will close the door to your room. And then, you should see, whenever he gets ready for the opera, clothes everywhere.
And definitely then, if she's like, again, still grinning to herself.
She's like, well, I'm off to bed.
Oh, no, definitely no one. You join us?
Oh, no. There's a crowd.
No, three's a crowd.
Oh, yeah, three's a crowd.
Like, double of it says here, Daphne getting a bit of her own back after Martin later in an exact same fix. during the matchmaker episodes. Again, another fabulous episode.
Oh, great episode.
And then, it was good sitting the guest mail in it. And
he's like, so.
So.
Our loved ones seem determined to thrust us together.
Well, don't let them persuade you.
And Edward's like, congratulations, Marty, on having raised such a splendid son. I envy your bond.
Do you have kids?
Just one, George. He's 35, and he's consecrated his life to bowling. I join him when I can, but...
You're not wild about it.
No. I mean... The shoes. Strange, isn't it? The things we'll do to be close to our children.
Yeah. I live Fraser driving all kinds of places I don't want to be. so I can spend some time with them, you know. And it's hard to human your kids, but
it's what we do. We're fathers.
Exactly.
Marty, would you be free for dinner sometime? No, it's all right. Never mind.
No. I'd love to. It's just that...
Now did you explain?
No, really. Not you. You're a great guy. It's just that...
Marty.
I'm dating someone.
Yeah, Marty. You don't have to spare my feelings.
No. It's really true. It's nails down for a bottle of wine.
Hello.
Darling.
I'm sorry. Am I interrupting something?
Oh, not a thing, honey. Just take off your coat and stay a while.
Okay. I felt bad about the squabble earlier, so I dropped off this little peace offering.
As Marty's away, oh, how could I stay mad at you? This is my boyfriend now. Now, this is Edward. We met at the opera tonight. Delighted.
Hello.
You look startled. I can assure you there's nothing funny going on here.
Oh, good.
Well, let me put this on ice as they walk away like you.
Excuse you.
Thank you. As Fraser and Emily walk back into the room.
Yeah, like, of course. A fine skill that ever sung was by the great
Matilda
de Cagney. I actually have a recording.
I'd love to hear it.
Where's Dad?
He's in the kitchen with his boyfriend.
I felt, do you know, the first time I saw that, I felt so bad for Edward. He seemed so hard. He's like, he's in the kitchen with his boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm like, aww.
As they walk back in here holding hands and everything, Martin and Nails, Nails, what brings you here? Oh, that's my place too. I can have company if I want.
Hello. Hi.
I didn't realize your father was seeing someone.
No, actually, I didn't think he was since you were into... Since when were you doing an item?
A couple of weeks now. I didn't say anything yet because, well...
So many reasons.
It was like, you know, Emily, it's getting late.
Oh, yes, we should be going.
No, please, stay for 5 more minutes. So, I have a very special old port I'd love to sample as he... It gets Nails to come and join him in the kitchen. Like, how can you do this to me?
This was not my idea.
Emily's kissing in the bedroom. Now she's leaving. I've never been so embarrassed in my life.
You're embarrassed? They think the best I can do is an old man with a cane.
That's the main thing about not having a baby cane. Thinking that he's with Martin. You have to fix this.
Oh, and how am I supposed to do that?
Well, isn't it obvious? You've got to dump Dad. Here we are. Really, you must try this. So now... Actually, missed such a splendid opera this evening.
Well, maybe I can catch it this weekend with Mel.
Oh, and who's Mel?
Damn you and your jealous questions! You don't own me!
Hey. In the phone. Don't read it. Do that again. And who's Mel?
Damn you and your jealous questions! You don't own me!
As he walked away. I was only asking.
Oh, you're always asking, badgering, spying on me. Well, I won't be suffocated anymore. I'm tired of being your trophy boy. It's over, you hear me? Over. And I'm keeping the jewelry.
That's the best part. Rachel, like, straight out loud, like, oh, Dad, I'm really sorry.
Emily's like, was there anything we can do?
No. I knew it wouldn't last.
Then Edward says one of my favourite lines, Marty, let the young ones never stay.
Oh, you know what? Gee, that Rigoletto recording. Oh, yeah, splendid. And Edward's like, you know, Emily, I'd love to hear it, but the shipment arrives very bright and early.
All right. Fraser, I wish I could stay, but I'm Edward's ride. And then Fraser's like, it's what a shame. Well, I guess this is a good night then.
And Martin's like, no, wait a minute. Emily, why don't you stay? Enjoy the you and Fraser enjoy the music. I'll give Edward a ride home.
You would do that, Dad?
Happy Valentine's Day, son. And all of Emily leaves his face and she gets her hand to her chest and she looks happy like, and he's like, thanks, Dad. And he goes, all right, good night, as he walks in. Like, he seems to like Edward enough, but he just doesn't want to hurt the guy.
Emily's like, so sweet of your father to do that. He really loves you, doesn't he?
You have no idea. She gets nervous into him as the music starts playing. I love it. And then the credits are definitely comes in removing a large gift card from a floral arrangement that Amy Martin compliments that Larry's then looked at assuming they're from Donny Daphne, Hans a small car man, reads looking out of control as if Larry's are from Edward. This is why Daphne goes to the kitchen with a big smile on her face. Martin frowns at the cave and kind of softens to it later. Like, oh, that's quite nice. Then he goes off to watch television.
Yeah, once again, I give this one a...
I always liked this one, but then after talking about it again, and the interaction from Martin and Niall, they really carry this episode, the two of them. And
totally.
I really, now that we talked about it earlier, but a potential episode Fraser related about best one-time guest, I really think Edward is a strong case.
Oh, hell yeah, I agree with you on that.
So all that coming together, I also would give this a double thumbs up.
Hell yeah!
I've watched this episode 100 times. I love this one.
I'll tell you, for me personally, what I love, take away so much from this episode, I mean, it's hilarious, first and foremost, sure. Like, David Hyde Pierce is the fucking, he is the funny guy in this episode. He's so fun, like, the way he delivers the lines, like you say, with a little sniff before the, and I'm keeping the jewelry, you know, or the, we think the best I could do is an old man with a gating.
I do love that, Martin's almost kind of putting his play from a previous episode, because, like, there was a bit where there was a lie, and Fraser didn't think he could, I know, like, kind of quick thinking introduction or something like that. Goes, well, glad I didn't have to use those kind of quick thinking as an undercover cop. And then when he has a chance to lie and create an excuse, twice he puts his foot in and it makes the situation worse.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many things, like I say, the episode itself is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's actually one of Fraser's better romantic entanglements through an episode, which is cool. Not a very Daphne or Roz heavy episode, but their elements are good in the episode. And it's a really sweet episode too. Because it shows that Martin's got a good soul.
Yeah.
In two senses, because not only does he spare Fraser's feelings and make the night go well for his son.
Yeah.
But even though the character Martin himself is not a gay man.
Yes.
He does his best to at least let Edward go happy, you know?
Yeah, and Edward, like, is now on the assumption that Martin was seeing someone, now he's just been dumped, so maybe not willing to immediately make a move on, but Martin does feel like there might be some, like, awkwardness in the car, but he's still willing to go through that after the whole thing of him rejecting him and then being dumped seemingly in front of him. He knows the guy he's always, but the things he would, like, they said that up, like, 10 minutes earlier, this is the things we do for our children. And Martin did that, he went out, we sent to the opera to help him out with a woman, and now he's been willing to go through all this.
No, I go on a pseudo date with Edward.
This isn't even the last time somebody will think a member of the intimate Fraser family, Crane family, is gay. We have a fun episode 11, a season 11 episode with Patrick Stewart to look forward to.
One of my absolute favourites.
And again, another great one-time guest. And anyway, We even reference back to another Fantastic episode. This is kind of tying back to The Matchmaker from season 2.
Fantastic episode.
Another great episode.
I've got to be honest, if I had to choose between Station Manager...
Tom Durant.
And Edward, I think personally for me, I would pick Edward.
Really? Yeah. The older gent?
The older gentleman, I think.
You would be the young one, and the young ones never stay.
I would stay with Edward. I like his candor.
I really thought you'd be more of a Tom Durant man. You know, he has nice flowing hair. And
he does, but Edward has
especially for the 90s.
Edward has a lovely way about him.
The good look that Tom Durant has, I would say, in the best way possible, they are very 90s. They're very much what a 90s TV show would say a good-looking man is like, especially a good-looking gay man.
Yes.
That's just my opinion.
But Edward has class.
Yes, he does.
And he's... Yeah, he's nice, Edward. I like Edward. Yeah. I would pick him as an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice to know you have options, don't you? Between your current fiancé and an actor who's been dead since 2016. The first time character played by an actor who's been dead since 2016.
Well, he was a handsome man.
Of course he was.
And rest in peace, Mr... What was his name again?
Brian Bedford.
Brian Bedford. Rest in peace, Brian Bedford. You were a handsome man and a great actor.
Yeah, two very fantabulous episodes, as you would say. Two double thumbs up in your opinion. Only one double thumbs up. The other one was solid in its own right.
But still, we fully agree on this episode. It was a fantastic episode. Really good emotional character development in it. Great development overall from Martin, because this is us into season 7.
Yeah.
Remember how he started out in the show?
Yeah.
And now he's at a point where not only will he step out of his comfort zone...
Mm-hmm.
But he's so much, he's softened so much as a character by this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of the grump out.
Yeah.
You know.
Again, it's a further development. Because a big through line of the show is not just Thresher's journey and also his many different dioceses and struggles to find a woman and everything. There's also the fact that it's also a big part of Vess's relationship with Marn, which is, we don't get many Thresher Marn focus episodes we did in the first few seasons, but this is a nice continuation of
kind
of
that. Yeah, really.
Especially how much Marn is willing to do for Thresher, so he's happy. You know, it would have been nice if we could have seen Emily at least once more, because we got at least two episodes out of Faye and how great she was and everything. We could have got at least one more episode out of Emily and that potential relationship.
Yeah, we could have had a little story arc with Emily, but because it would have been nice to see Edward in more than one episode.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe a little pseudo romantic date with Martin, you know.
I know.
That'd have been the best romance on the show. Not Martin and Cam Winston's mother. Martin and Edward.
I thought you liked Martin and Cam Winston's mother.
I did.
But you'd rather Martin have to be in a romance with Edward even though he's not gay.
I'd rather he was gay and with Edward. I think they would make a nice couple.
I'm sure you do. They'd be happy with their multiple Jack Russells.
Yes. Yes, that would be good.
Because Jack Russells are awesome.
And it would be multiple Jack Russells, because Eddie's a boy, and he's a wee hornball.
Well, no,
he's been fixed by that point.
They had him fixed. There's that lovely moment where the vet takes him and all three Cree men cross their legs.
Yes, they'd had him fixed by then.
Yes.
Oh, so it wouldn't have done him any good. He couldn't have made more puppies.
I mean, he could still shag them and no.
Oh, well, he could get a good ride out of them.
Because as someone who wanted Jack Russell, whose previous owner did have him fixed, I mean, I don't know if I would have made that decision myself. Because I don't know how that would affect him, but he still, like, he tries to, you know, have a go at some other dogs, and every so often he'll try and hump my mother's leg.
Well.
I don't think it really affects just the horniness of a Jack Russell, them not having their testicles. And in some instances, it fucking makes them worse.
Mm.
At least in my opinion. I'm not a vet. I don't play one on television.
Why not?
It's an old, you know, it's a take on that joke. You know, I'm not a doctor, I just play one on television, that kind of joke. You know?
Ah.
It's a shit one, I know, but, you know, work with me here.
I'm working.
Yeah. So thank you for joining for another Thresher episode. It'll be a few weeks before we get back to it. I think we may be focusing on some wrestling-related content, but...
Yeah.
We will have Thresher. We are folks wanting to go on some other Thresher-related content in terms of, like, little bit lists, like, favourites and least favourites, the thing that like we mentioned, favourite one-time guest stars and stuff like that. Eclectic Escapades, we have a very interesting idea. We won't say too much about it. We have Eclectic Escapades, which kind of does, in some instances... really stretch out the parameters of Eclectic Escapades, but it's really did an excellent three-part episode.
Oh, it really is.
That we're really excited about, and we'll explain more to it when we get there. But
it will be the Eclectic Escapades spin-off.
Well, no, it's a spin-off within a spin-off, are you saying?
Yeah.
It's a mini-series.
It's a spin-off within a spin-off within a docudrama.
I don't think there's a docudrama involved.
Within a serial.
That's enough from you. But yeah, let us know what you thought of these two particular episodes. Do you rate them very highly among the episodes? What did you think of these kind of guest characters?
And if you don't, why?
Yes, why? Explain yourself at SP Rambling on Twitter, or explain to me personally at ScumbagsFly1996 on Twitter, or let us know.
And explain to him why.
Let us know on our Facebook page and give it a like while you're there. Facebook.com/ramblingpodcast.
Yes.
And make sure to give us a like, rating, or review on your chosen platform if you enjoy the show. A rating, leave 5-star review. It would really help us out tremendously, and we'd be very grateful for it.
We would. We will send you cake.
If you are looking for anyone who's in for a unique podcast talking about Thresher and wrestling and all sorts of things of that regard, and someone who's likes listening to our podcast and wants something a bit different, do recommend them. Send them our way. Word of mouth would be. Is incredibly helpful.
More
for a
people
show like this.
Will like it if we think we serve punch and pie.
Also, if someone wants to hear a show where guys are drunk for most of it, we'd also be there to fill that particular niche.
You know, I'm relatively sober.
Yes, I know, but we do have episodes where we're both drinking. If people like that kind of thing from their podcasters, we are there to fill that void.
It's mostly his fault. He encourages it.
And he's in denial, but who encourages it? I have to do a Paul denial by getting drunk as well.
Yes, I am his enabler.
You're an enabler. Yes, that's definitely the word to describe you.
But no, I'm not an alcoholic.
You just play one on a podcast.
Yes, I do.
But until next time, where we're back with some more wrestling-related content, I hope you enjoyed this video review. That has been Paul, I have been Scott.
That has been Scott, I have been Paul.
And a good day to you, and a good mental health.
Indeed.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Oh, my.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Frasier has left the building.